Please open your Bibles to the book of John, 20th chapter, page 1144 in your Scofield Bible, and beginning with verse 24, we'll read through verse 29. John chapter 20, verse 24, reading responsively through verse 29, page 1144 in your Scofield Bible. The 25th verse is the text verse. And let's stand, please, for the reading of this passage. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. And let's pray. And Father, this is a very, very important hour. And for someone here today, it might be the most important hour in all their lives. For others of us, it's certainly important enough for us to give our undivided attention. Bless the preaching, our preacher, and bless, we pray, our hearing of thy word today. In Jesus' name, amen.
The Apostle Thomas said, I will not believe until I can thrust my hands in the print of the nails. I want to speak this morning on you can trust the one who has the scars. You can trust the one who has the scars. Our Heavenly Father, for these 101 years, a gathering of thy people has been conducted within a few yards of where I stand right now. Some man of God has stood to proclaim the message of God. And here we are again as pastoring people for these almost 29 years, proclaiming the same message with just another, from another viewpoint, another angle. Bless us as we do. In Jesus' name, amen. I was in Marietta, Ohio, this past Monday and Tuesday, for my 14th consecutive year with my good friend, Dr. Myron Geiler. I always stay in the same motel and the same room of that motel every year, have for 14 years. And go there on Monday, preach on Monday night, Tuesday morning, some kind of a meeting, and then Tuesday night. Dr. Geiler and I were talking about Dr. Robertson, Lee Robertson, one of my heroes. Dr. Robertson's been going through some heartache in recent years, last few years. And there's been some unjust opposition leveled his way. You know, it's hard to believe that anybody would want to hurt Lee Robertson. It's hard to believe that. One of the heroes of the faith. Dr. Geiler and I were talking about it. I said, well, Dr. Geiler, I said, how do you feel about it? And boy, he shot back at me and he said something that caused this sermon this morning. He said, I'm for Dr. Robertson. Well, I said, I am too. Better know I am. He said, I'll tell you why, Dr. Robertson. And I said, why? He said, I'm always for the one who's got the scars on him. That's amazing. I'm always for the one who's got the scars on him. Anytime there are two people, odds, or one's trying to criticize the other, he said, I'm for the one who's got the scars on him. He said, Dr. Robertson, all these years, has gotten those scars for fundamentalism in America. And he said, I don't know, care who's fighting him. I'm for the one who's got the scars on him. And I got thinking about that. So am I. I couldn't have put it that eloquently as Dr. Giler did. But I've lived my life that way. I recall years ago when I was in the Army, fighting for the South in the Civil War. Well, of course we lost. We had so many bus routes for our Sunday school classes, we didn't have time to fight. We only fought when we weren't out soul winning. But as I was fighting for the North in the Civil War several years ago, alternately. But anyway, I was in the Army during the closing days of World War II, and then I stayed in for a year after World War II was over. And we had some fellows who came back from Iwo Jima, Normandy, Belgian Bulge, which I have now, and they came back. And one day, they came back to Fort Bragg, North Carolina, where I was stationed. And one day there were two fellows in a fight. They're just about to square off. And one of them is in a fight. He had a scar here on his arm, right here. And he had a scar on his face. He was one of the fellows that fought in the war. And funny thing, I just started fighting the other guy. I didn't know what they were fighting about. I just ran up and helped him slug the other guy. He was winning the fight till I got there. But I just rushed up and started slugging the guy that didn't have the scars. I hadn't even thought about that in years, but I was for the fella who had the scars. Years ago, I was riding in a taxi cab out in Casper, Wyoming with a denominational secretary, and that word doesn't impress me. That word is sort of like communism to me. But anyway, I was riding with a denominational secretary, and we were sharing the same cab riding to the airport. He started telling me a bunch of scuttlebutt lies about John Rice. Those days, John Rice was active in his ministry still, and he started telling me a bunch of dirty, scandalous lies about John Rice. And I didn't ever met the guy, but I said to the cab driver, stop the cab. He said, why? I said, no, why? But just stop it. He stopped the cab. I said to the denomination secretary, now, get out. He said, what for? I said, one of us is going to get whipped right now. He said, where's your Christian spirit? I said, I aim to get it as soon as I'm off the ground up with you. You're not going to scandalize one of my friends and me smile at you, sit across the table from you. I won't do that. No way I'll do that. I may punch you in the puss in love. But you know why? Here's this phenomenon. All this, Dr. John Rice fought the battle for fundamentalism, fought the battle for this book, stayed in the trenches all these years for soul winning, the Holy Spirit and prayer, the old time gospel. And this little pusillanimous denominational secretary, all he had was ink under his hands from printing bulletins. I'm for the guy that's got the scars. I was in a hotel in Dallas, Texas. A couple of guys came to me and started spreading a bunch of sloppy scandal about Lester Roloff. And I said, shut up! Hush! I like what old Don Shelby did out in the parking lot. Guy got out of the parking lot and criticized me, never made it to church. Never did. Don leveled him. Had to take him to the hospital. Not Don, the other guy. Yeah, leveled him. Yeah. You know, we don't have any loyalty these days. Somebody can cuss and scandalize somebody we love, and we don't have any loyalty. I will not defend myself, but I'll defend my friend. And brother, if you scandalize one of my friends, you got some, one of us got blood from his nose. I'm simply saying that I when that guy said about Dr. Robertson, and brother, anybody that's against Lee Robertson's against me. And Lee Robertson's in a fight, I'm going to hit the other guy and ask Lee Robertson why I did it. That's all. 2 and 2 is 4. Sunrise in the west, east, and sets in the west. Nobody's perfect. Every sermon has a mistake or two in it. But I I'm pretty wrong. Why? I'm for the guy that's got the scars. I'm for the guy that's fought the battle. Brother Terry Smith back there been going through some battles. Some guy in his church trying to destroy him. I'm for Terry Smith. You know why? I'm for the guy that got the scars. I'm for the guy that's led the battle. I'm for the guy that's been out in the front all across America. And many places I go, never a month passes what some deacon comes to me and tries to criticize his pastor. And I always say, shut your mouth, you big loud mouth baboon. Shut up! Or I may say little loud mouth baboon. He weighs under 150. I'll hit him. But I'm simply saying, I'm for the guy that's got the scars. But then it dawned on me. That's how I got saved. I trusted the one who has the scars. That's how I've made it all through these years. I've just trusted the one who has the scars. Don't trust the priest. He hadn't got the scars. Don't trust the rabbi. He doesn't have the scars. I mean, don't trust the Pope. He doesn't have the scars. You just put your faith in the one who has the scars. Have you failed in your plan of your storm-tossed life? Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Are you weary and worn with its toil and strife? Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. He'll keep to the end. He's your dearest friend. Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Ladies and gentlemen, this morning here, don't want to go to heaven when you die. Let me tell you, the only way to go to heaven is to put your trust in the one that has the scars. The one who has the scars. Not the Pope, he doesn't have the scars. Not the preacher, he doesn't have the scars. Not the priest, he doesn't have the scars. Not the rabbi, he doesn't have the scars. Not the bishop, he doesn't have the scars. Not the archbishop, he doesn't have the scars. Not the denomination, doesn't have the scars. Not the baptistry. But put your trust in the one who has the scars. There's only one Savior and one name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved. And that's the name of the one who has the scars in his hand. Trust the one who has the scars. An old story. Everybody's heard it or told it that's ever preached a sermon. But I love it. Dear little saint of God lay dying, sweet little lady. All these years she had served her God, read His book, done His will. She lay dying. Somebody said, let's call her pastor. They called her pastor and he was not available. He was out of the city. And one of the members of the family went to another denomination and said, I'll call my pastor, Father so-and-so. And they called Father so-and-so. He came to the deathbed of this little lady, a sweet saint of God. And he said, ma'am, I understand you're very ill. She said, yes, I am. He said, you do know that you may go out into eternity. She said, yes, I do. He said, before you die, would you like for me to absolve any of your sins? For anybody to even make a statement like that makes my soul burn inside. Brother, why don't you point them to the Savior? He said, any sins you want me to absolve. Listen, you can put dust and ashes all you want to, and you can put all the little crumbs and all the little Eucharist all you want to, but brother, the only way anybody's going to go to heaven is not by somebody doing some voodoo or hoodoo. It's only when you decide you're a sinner, and sinners are lost, and lost people are going to hell, and Jesus came and they was nailed to the cross and got the scars in his hand, and you put your trust and hope for heaven in the one who has the scars. She said, "Sir, you want to absolve my sins." He said, "If you have any, you confess them to me now." She said, "Okay, but you've got to qualify." He said, "How qualify for what?" She said, "Qualify for the absolving of my sins." He said, "What do I do to qualify?" She said, "Would you hold your right hand up?" He held his right hand up. She said, "Would you hold your left hand up?" He held his left hand up. And she said, "Sir, you can't absolve my sins. My Savior has scars in his hand." Somebody's got to preach against the heresy that joining a certain church gets you to heaven. Somebody's got to preach against the heresy that being baptized gets you to heaven. Somebody's got to preach against the heresy that a man in a telephone booth can forgive your sins for $5. He can't do it. Only the one who has the scars in his hands can save you. Only the one who has the scars in his hands can redeem you. The only one who has the scars in his hands can forgive your sins. You trust, if you're unsaved this morning, you trust the one who has the scars in his hands. If you're heart sick this morning, your heart is broken, you trust the one who has the scars in his hands. If life doesn't seem worth living, you put your faith in the one who has the scars in his hands. That's the one. You trust the one that's got the scars. And then I thought, as I left, my friend, Dr. Giler, who said, "I'm always for the one that's got the scars." I thought about Dr. Robertson. Boy, if there ever was a time when America ought to rise to Dr. Robertson's defense, it's now. The old warriors. That's the one the little lieutenants shoot at. That's the one the PFCs shoot at. The old warriors. Trust the one who's got the scars. And I got to thinking about my Savior with the scars in his hands and feet. You know, I just trust him because I trust the one that's got the scars. I thought about four things. I don't have to know why. I don't have to know why. I just have to know who. Don't have to know why. Brother Mitchell, I can't tell you why. I can't. I wish I could. God knows I wish I could. I mean, I wish I could. When I heard about your wife back yonder, the disease that she'll probably have to bear as long as she lives, I wish I could have walked up and put my arm around you and said, "Judson, this is..." I can't tell you why, but I can tell you who. I can't tell you about that precious daughter whose disease is inexplainable. I can't tell you why. I can't tell you why she can't be at home today. I can't tell you why your heart is broken for that precious little junior high girl. I can't tell you why, but I can tell you who. Brother Roy, I can't tell you why little Roy is not normal. I can tell you why big Roy is not normal, but I can't tell you why little Roy is not normal. I can't tell you why he's had all those surgeries. I can't tell you why he'll not be able to get his college degree someday. I can't tell you why, but I can tell you who. That's all you need to know. Brother, you just fly up here. I wish some of you folks that sit in the corners would love to get as close to me as that fly does. But anyway, I can't tell you why. But don't have to know why, bless God. All I got to know is who. I'll make it as long as I can trust the one that has the scars in his hands. I can take it as long as I can see the one who has the scars in his hands. I can tough it out as long as I know the one who has the scars in his hands. And brother, when that preacher said to me about any time there's a battle between somebody, he says, "I'm always for the one who has the scars in his hands." I'll go on an airplane, and I almost shouted. I said, "Bless God, I'll stand for the one who has the scars in his hands. When somebody says the blood is not necessary for salvation, I'll just stand for the one who has the scars in his hands."
when somebody says you don't have to belong to a certain denomination, I'll just stand for the one who has the scars in his hand. While they curse him on the job, I'll just stand up for the one who has the scars in his hands. While folks make dirty movies about him, I'll just stand for the one who has scars in his hands. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner. It must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall lead. That every foe is vanquished, and Christ is Lord. Indeed, I got news for you. I have read the last chapter of the book. Little mama said to the son one time, said, "Son, come wash the dishes." The boy's reading the book out in the middle of it, a cowboy story. And mama said, "Son, come wash the dishes." Little boy said, "Mama, I clean him right in the middle of this cowboy story," and said, "The villain's got the hero down and about to whip him." Mama said, "I'm going to get you down and about to whip you. You get in here and wash these dishes." "Mama, I can't. I've got to read the rest of it, because my hero is in trouble and the villain is winning." She said, "Get in here and wash the dishes." He turned over to the back of the book and read that last chapter. And he went in there waving the book to wash the dishes. And while he washed the dishes, he said, "Yeah, yeah, yeah, old villain. You're having a good time there in the middle of the book. But you wait till you get the last chapter. You're in for the shock of your life. Yeah, 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 old Beelzebub. You're having a time right now. You got your dirty R-rated movies. You got your dirty Hollywood movies. You got your dirty dope. You got your dirty liquor. You got your dirty liberalism. You got your dirty abortion. You got your dirty homosexuality. Go ahead, devil, run rampant. But bless God, I read the book of Revelation." You in for the shock of your life, Book of Man, when you get over there. My Bible says that one will stand. And he calls him a lamb. Why does he call him a lamb? Because he's got scars in his hands. He's the sacrifice. He's got the scars in his hands. I said, don't have to know why. I just have to know who. And I just have to do what. I don't have to know the why. All I have to know is the who and do the what. What's the what? God's will for my life, getting people saved, obeying God's command, being faithful to God's work. That's the what. Just do the what. That's what Brother Judson's doing. He's at work. He's not somewhere moping because of his heartache. He doesn't know why. He just knows the who. When you know the who, you won't do the what. Get busy for God. Serve him. Love him. Obey him. Do what he says. Do the what. And then I just have to go where. I must go where he says go. I must do what he says do. I must know who, but don't have to know why. I've got thousands and millions of years in heaven one of these days to find out the whys. I've only got a few days to do the what. Why am I going to spend the rest of my life moping around here saying why, when I got millions, tens of millions and trillions of years to let my Savior tell me why? But I only have a few years left to do what. Quit why. Start doing the what. You go where, do the what. Quit whining about the why, and thank God you know the who. That's all you got to know. The who. How's it going to turn out? It's going to turn out okay because I know the who. Well, why is it going on? Don't have to know the why, I know the who. 10,000 times, rather know the who and not the why than the why and not know the who. Your job, my job, is to go to the where. Wherever he leads, I'll go. That's our job, to go to the where. Our job is, once we get to the where, do the what. Obey God, serve him, build a Sunday school class, build a bus route, win souls to God. Do the what. And then trust the who. You ever stop thinking about this? Job never found out why. Show me a place in the book of Job where God told him why. God never told Job why his 10 children were killed. God never told Job why he lost his health. God never told Job why he lost his oxen, his asses, his sheep, and his camels. God never told Job why his wife said, "Curse God and die." God never told Job why he was a public spectacle. God never told Job why. But Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. He knew the who, that's all. Brother, you know the who. You haven't got to know the why. As long as you know the who that knows the why, you know you'll know the why as soon as you see the who. That's good, isn't it? You better know it's good. Did you ever stop and realize that God never told Paul why? God never told Paul why he had the thorn in the flesh. Never did. Not one time did God ever tell the Apostle Paul why he had the thorn in the flesh. Remove the thorn. He didn't. Remove the thorn. He didn't. Remove the thorn. He didn't. God comes back and said, I'll not do it. But Paul said, God came and said, Paul, you got to keep that thorn in the flesh. But he said, my grace is sufficient for you. God said, Paul, I'm not going to tell you why, but you can know the who. And that's why Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. And you'll never know him till you suffer. That's why Paul said, I know whom I have believed. He said, I have believed. He's not talking about assurance of salvation. I have believed. I got saved. But you don't know him when you get saved. You trust him. You don't have to know God to be saved. You trust God to be saved. You trust Christ. You accept his gift. But as you walk with him, and as you suffer with him, and as you hurt with him, and as you're outside the gate with him, and as you're hated with him, and as you're persecuted with him, and as you're lied about with him, you get to know him. And Paul said, thank God, I have believed in him. Thank God, I now know him. Get to know the who. I guarantee you the folks that whine the most about the why spend the less time with the who. I'll guarantee you the people that complain more about the why, they spend more less time talking to the one who is the who. Trust the one who has the scars. I don't know what your sorrow is today. I don't know. But know you have one. I don't know what your burden is, but know you have one. This morning, if you're here and you want to go to heaven when you die, quit believing all this garbage about keeping the Ten Commandments. Sure, you ought to try to keep them, but you can't keep them. Well, one of them says, thou shalt not covet. Nobody here never saw something that he coveted, wanted. Somebody else's house. Somebody else's car. My physique. Well, a few guys covet my physique. I'm not going to name them. You know who you are. If the shoe fits, if the coat fits, put it on. Steve Huckins covets my physique. But everybody here's seen something of somebody else's you wanted. Don't sit there and, well, you know what? You keep the Ten Commandments, you go to heaven. All right, tell you what, you can, if you live a good life and save yourself. Listen, here's what you'd have to do to save yourself. First thing you'd have to do is be virgin born. And you get off to a bad start already. Next thing you'd have to do is live a perfect life. Next thing you'd have to do is go to the cross and get nailed to it. Next thing you'd have to do is be buried for 3 days and three nights. And the next thing you'd have to do is rise from the dead. But let me tell you something, brother. I know one who was virgin born, lived a perfect life, died in our place, paid the penalty for sin, was buried for 72 hours, rose from the dead. Who is he? The one that has the scars. The one that has the scars. You need comfort this morning? Don't go to the psychologist. Go to the one that has scars in his hands. You worried about the future? Don't trust the government. Trust the one that has the scars in his hands. You facing your senior years? Yes. I answer. With apprehension? No. Why? I'm trusting the one that has the scars in his hands. Children to rear alone. Husband left you or died and you had to take all the load by yourself. How can you make it? You trust the one who has the scars in his hands. I do not have to know. Today, while fastened to the sod, the reasons of his providence, the whys and wheres of God. I'll trust completely in him if his purpose never shows.
as long as I can feel his touch and know the one who knows. I simply need to know he's there, the one who holds the stars. I'm just satisfied with trusting in the one who has the scars. I do not have to see today the purpose of his plan. I need not try to figure out or know or understand. If I can see the one who sees, I do not have to see the purpose of the clouds and shrouds that often visit me. I only need a glimpse of him, the one who fights my wars. I give to him my confidence, the one who has the scars. I do not have to hear today the motives of his will. I have no need to beg or plead to comprehend the chill of stormy winds that oft descend to blow away my hopes and send me reeling along the depths, the valleys, and the slopes. I only need to realize that he is very near. I'm satisfied to just confide and hear the one who hears. And if I know that he approves my jolts and shocks and jars, I'll trust the one who heareth all, the one who has the scars. I'll wait and see if I can see the one who sees the end. I'll wait to know if I can know the one who knows each bend. I'll wait to hear if I can hear the one who heareth all. I'll wait to find the reason why if I can hear his call. For there he hides no thing from us, no whys he ever bars. I'll see and feel and hear and know the one who has the scars. In heaven, we will sit around for a couple of thousand years and learn the real purpose of the heartaches, hurts, and tears. But until then, I need not know the reasons for the sighs. 'Tis just enough to know him now. For then I'll realize the what's, why's, the where's, and how's, the will-be's, and the are's. I'll gaze upon the face of him, the one who has the scars. Trust him. Stand for the one who has the scars in his hands. Dear Jesus, I pray this morning